Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. Wow, what a week at IFA 2013 at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada. I can't even explain how tired as well as how excited I am, and I know many in the franchise community feel the same way. Every time we walked around, every time we turned around, it was more and more people. I've never seen so many people, and also feel such a tremendous vibe and enthusiasm coming out of the event. It surely was tremendous. I think back to 4 years ago in San Antonio when there was roughly 2,300 or 2,400 attendees at the event, and this time it was 3,500 plus. I'm anxious to hear the final tally. I mean, just a tremendous event. Before we talk with our guest today, Nancy Weingarten, the executive editor at Franchise Times Magazine, she's going to give us some of the highlights and some of her thoughts on the event, as well as share some insight on the revamped online exposure of Franchise Times Magazine, really a tremendous improvement on their site, as well as their upcoming conference. But before we do, I do want to talk a little bit about the upcoming shows on Franchise Today. We were able to secure some of our guests on the upcoming shows. Next week, of course, the Voices of Franchising series will continue. It actually ends next week, and Therese Gilgan from Franchise Update Group will be my guest. And then in March, the first 2 weeks of March, we have Sandy Shoemaker as well as Ron Feldman will be on our Franchise Finance series. And then we'll be at the Multi-Unit Conference, and Bob Gapper of Management 2000 will be one of my guests in our Multi-Unit Franchising series. And then in April and May, it's really exciting as we're starting to get final commitments for our fourth annual League Franchise Legal Series. Already committed, although we've yet to firm up dates, is Lane Fisher, Lee Plave, Mark Kirsch, Jonathan Redgrave, Amy Chang, and Warren Lewis. We have two more spots to secure. And as I've told everybody earlier in the year, we will culminate the fourth annual Franchise Legal Series with a recap at the IFA Legal Symposium in late May. And then in June, I'm real excited because June will have a couple of segments in a series, Technology and Franchising. And then we're going to talk the last 2 weeks of June about franchise sales and development, kind of give a little bit of a push towards best practices in those areas as we go into the summer, where many believe is a slower time in franchise sales and development. And then really exciting for our first ever Franchisor Spotlight series, which will take us through July and August. We'll be spotlighting some of the emerging and successful franchise brands and how to utilize best practices to get where they're going. And I'm really, really super excited as I confirmed a commitment from this year's Entrepreneur of the Year. And, of course, we're talking about Jersey Mike's CEO, Peter Cancro. Had a great conversation with him at IFA, and we're going to do a live event with him and I sitting across the table. So a fellow New Yorker and a former New Yorker and a Jersey boy could get together and throw a little bit of insult each other's way, as we joked about the other day. And I know Nancy interviewed Peter this week at IFA, so that should really be an interesting show. We also have Dina Dwyer own scheduled, so the Spotlight series will be 2 months. Be 9 or 10 episodes through the summer, July and August. And then September will be focused around the IFA's Public Affairs Conference in Washington, D.C. And then October and November will focus around two events, which will be the Franchise Update Leadership Conference in Atlanta, as well as the West Coast Franchise Expo on the West Coast. And then, of course, December will be kind of a year in review, and then leading to January with Franchise Expo South right here in my neck of woods in Houston, Texas. So really one heck of a schedule Already we'll be doing 50 live shows weekly and another 10 special events, including one at the Dealmakers Summit in Chicago, Illinois in August, and we'll be having more details on all of that. So without much further ado, I'd like to introduce again for Franchise Today, I believe this is the third time, Nancy Weingarten, the executive editor of Franchise Times Magazine. Nancy, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Paul. I really appreciate having this pulpit, so thank you.
Well, I know, like me, you got to be a little bit tired. You got to be a little bit happy to be at home and sitting back and saying, God, I'm glad I don't have to walk anymore.
I know. I think our feet are really the ones that take more punishment than our voices do at this MGM location.
You know, don't I know it? It was funny because I marvel at the beautiful shoes that the woman at the event wear, and I was especially Shelley Sun, who might have the best shoes in franchising. But when I saw her walking back, it might have been Wednesday late afternoon, and you could just tell she was dragging. She said, "I got to get out of these shoes. I got to get out of these shoes." And she said, "My dogs are killing me." I laughed. It's all good, all really good. So, initial thoughts on IFA 2013. Do you have any?
Well, one thing that I found really interesting was before I even got to the convention, I was on the plane. I was talking to the woman sitting next to me as we were getting ready to come off, and she was asking why I was there, and she was going to the magic show, which I actually thought was a magic show. I thought, you know, it was the magicians, and thought that was going to be a lot more fun. But she was talking about how much she wanted a Sprinkles franchise, and because she loved the cupcakes. And it always fascinates me that really is how franchising gets going, is somebody loves the products or the services. And so I thought it was kind of interesting before I even got there. People were still talking about franchising and what it's doing for the economy. But I was, like you, I was impressed with the number of people there. It just seemed like the hallways were crowded and the buzz. Everybody was talking and excited. And there's so much sharing that goes on there. That's the one theme that I think I get from everybody is how wonderful it is to go and competitors are talking to, you know, to their competition. There's completely unrelated businesses are able to share information because of using franchising as their way of selling goods and expanding. So I really like that energy that the room has, no matter where you are, and the amount of really good information that's out there, that even though people have been going for years, they still sit in on the sessions because they know they're going to learn something new. And I think when you invest that much money taking people there, it is kind of nice to know that they're going home with, some nugget. They're debriefing afterwards. They're not just kind of going to cocktail receptions. They're actually, you know, there's a strategic plan of what they're going to get out of this conference.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I'm always impressed about, as many years as I've been going and sitting in some of the sessions, this is information, as you referred to, a nugget of information that you can bring back, and it's not just, you know, wishes, hopes, and dreams. It's not, well, I'd like to move towards this. I mean, this is stuff you can bring to the table and work with your team on right away. And I think it's just invaluable information. And I think to your point about sitting next to somebody on the plane, you know, talking about franchise, I really think what has absolutely helped franchising is the exposure that we've been getting on CBS Undercover Boss, most recently on Shark Tank, the Be the Boss show. The general public is being exposed to franchising, as it should be, because obviously it is such a key component of the small business community and, of course, the economy. So I really think that has helped a great deal to bring franchising in the spotlight, so to speak, with the general public at large.
Well, and then you have the keynote speaker, Dr. Condoleezza Rice, say that, you know, getting the economy going is the number one thing that everybody should be thinking about right now, from the government on down. And, of course, that was a huge message people love to hear. But I think that is what people are finally realizing, that small business is kind of our bread and butter in this country, and we need to pay attention to it. We need to be more creative about how we go about expanding and selling our products and services. And
I just
think that's a really a good sign. And I was talking to some U.S. Commercial Service officers who have their posts are overseas, and as we all know, international is kind of the way franchising is going. And this one woman told me that when a franchise comes into a small country and establishes itself and starts doing well, especially a large one like a KFC or a McDonald's, that is kind of a signal to the rest of the business community that that country now is ready for business. And I thought that was really a very good testament to franchising, you know, because of the systems that they can bring in for the economy, the training, but that franchising is kind of that beacon, I thought was really an interesting way. I had never really thought of looking at franchising that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really interesting when you talk about the international community. To me, there was a larger contingency from international markets than I've ever seen before. I had the pleasure of meeting Alan Branch. He's from Australia. Paulo Cesar Mauro from Brazil. I met on Saturday with many people from the Brazilian franchise delegation. Of course, I believe franchising is really going to boom in Brazil with 2014 World Cup and the 2016 mm-hmm. Summer Olympics. I'm working with the Franchise Brokers Association, Sabrina Wall, and Professor Hung Zhu from Florida, the University of Florida's MBA International Program, putting together a two-week MBA-level course on entrepreneurship with an exchange of information and opportunities between Brazil and the United States going both ways, and I'm real excited about that. And we're going to do I believe it's going to be a four-hour seminar before the 2014 International Franchise Expo, and then the two-week event will be sometime that summer. So really exciting things going on in the international community. And I know the last time you were on Franchise Today, you had just finished one of the trade missions. How important are the trade missions to franchising?
I think they're extremely important. I'm more impressed with the U.S. Commercial Service every time I talk to somebody from that government agency, because the passion that they have for franchising, because for them, you know, the trade missions are an incredible amount of work, the gold keys that they do for individual companies, but they really believe in that system so much that even though it doesn't, you know, count on their success rate, which is kind of how they're measured in their job, because they take so much longer, they still are willing to do the work for it. And the trade missions are just a great way for companies to go over and have one-on-one meetings with pre-screened companies or individuals. You get a tour of the country through, you know, the business experts. You get to meet the ambassadors a lot of times, or the assistant ambassadors. It's just a wonderful way of being introduced to that country and that culture, and to see whether or not it's a good fit. Because for a lot of companies, you know, they may not be ready to go internationally, but the more they find out ahead of time. But the ones that we've been taking on trade missions are really experienced, and they have the resources, and yet they still find the trade missions to be valuable. And the one that's coming up for us next is going to go to the Middle East. It's going to Egypt,
wow.
Jordan, and Qatar, which is in May. And
mm-hmm.
that one, it was interesting because we've gotten a lot of inquiries about it, a little bit slower to sign up, and I think Egypt might be scaring a lot of people. And so there was a U.S. commercial officer who had been in Egypt that was able to talk about, you know, some of the challenges there, and that what you see in the media isn't always, you know, the true picture of what's going on in that country. So I really think trade missions are an inexpensive way to go to a country and meet and see what your potential franchisees are going to be like.
Yeah, and that's I absolutely agree, and there's nothing like being there. And that's one of the things we're hoping to achieve next year because we won't be just talking specifically. I mean, we'll be talking a lot about Brazil, but it'll also be some other key parts of the world. And there's just so much to know. There's so much to understand. I know we just recently sold rights to one of our brands, Spoon Me Yogurt, in Saudi Arabia. And it's just amazing the amount of information that you think you have, but you fall short on. And the trade missions certainly can help really make people understand the culture and just the feel for it. I know last year when you were talking about, I believe it was right after you did the trade mission, was it in Indonesia? And is that where it was last year?
Well, we had two. We had one to Vietnam and Indonesia, and then the most recent one was South America that we went to. But I think it was right after the Vietnam one that I talked to you.
Yeah, it was just fascinating information, and if anybody wants that information from that show, it's available at blogtalkradio.com/franchisetodayshow, as all of our segments of Franchise Today are available on demand. So one word to describe Dr. Rice's speech in my mind was wow. I was absolutely blown away. I have fallen in love with a new woman, Dr. Rice. I love her philosophies. I love her stand on education. I've often been a believer of, yeah, it's great for kids to get involved, but I haven't been a believer in giving everybody a trophy just for participating.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, you know, people need to achieve. That's what life is about, as we all know. And she was just remarkable in her delivery. I mean, when she was answering questions and she said, okay, I have 3 points, Dad. Number one, this. Number two, that. Number three, that. I usually do that. I get to a number one, number two, and I say, you know, Nancy, I forgot what I was going to say about number three.
I agree. I really think she might have been my favorite speaker at any of the conventions because she was just, you know, she had great stories, but you're right. She was so polished as a speaker. And I like the education things, too. I love the one that it was right after she said something about everybody should not get a trophy. But I loved when she said that the school programs, you know, the kids are cute up there, but make them rehearse. You know,
right.
make the program good,
yeah.
You know, from the audience standpoint. And I thought that was, you know, for someone who doesn't have children, who probably hasn't sat through a lot of them, that was really a good point. We do need to be more prepared, and
That was a great point. Of course, if they were all prepared, YouTube might not have as many videos on there as they do now.
That's right.
Yeah, she was great.
More videos.
I think the great part about it was, and I really felt like she was a speaker that didn't have a motive, an ulterior motive. Of course, you know, Mitt Romney was on the verge of announcing his candidacy, mm-hmm. and it always seemed like somebody had some type of motive, but she was great. She was just absolutely fantastic. I can't wait to see her again. You know, there was so many fantastic things about this year's event, and I know right after I was speaking with Peter Cancor, the CEO founder of Jersey Mike's, you had an opportunity to interview him, and I don't think anybody in franchising has not heard of Jersey Mike's by now. And Peter, with a great story, he was named Entrepreneur of the Year at the annual convention. He bought his first sub in Point Pleasant, New Jersey in 1975 at the age of 17, which really resonates with me because I was 17 at the age of in 1975 as well. He expanded nationally in 87. He's operating more than 600 units, 33 states, and determined to expand the franchise nationally and overseas and reach 1,000 restaurants. And I'm confident he will definitely achieve those goals. So tell us a little bit about your interview with Peter.
Well, I had just a very short one. He had spoken at one of our conferences, I think it was our franchise finance conference a couple years ago. And I loved the story. I know what I was doing at 17, and it was nowhere near starting a business or a dynasty. And I like the fact that the giving back to the community was something that was not just lip service. And they were talking about when they were looking for franchisees, they wanted them, you know, it was kind of like, I'll know it when I see it. He said it was really hard to define what they're looking for, but they wanted people that they were comfortable with, that had the same business philosophy, the same community awareness philosophy. And I really like that, because I think, you know, franchising has been accused in the past of just taking anybody that could fog a mirror.
Right.
And
right.
I like the fact that franchisors now are really thinking, you know, that that's, you know, a warm body is not good enough anymore. You've got to make sure it's somebody that you're going to get along with, somebody that is going to do your business and your plan justice. And so I was impressed with him. And it sounds like he's really surrounding himself with experienced, really good people as he's growing this company.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and if some people don't know this story, Peter was working in Mike's sub shop in Point Pleasant, New Jersey, followed his brother working there. And he was in high school, talk about an overachiever. He's class president, started a football team, definitely had opportunity to go on to a college education and most likely a scholarship. And when he found out the sub shop was for sale, he decided to buy it. Talk about true entrepreneurial risk. I marvel at it. Kudos to him. He's done fabulous and is definitely somebody that I would definitely suggest the younger people try to emulate. Really passionate, really putting himself in the midst of a very, very strong team. And no matter what the success is, he's still moving forward. And, again, kudos to him.
Well, it's interesting because right after I talked to him, I talked to another person who had started a business at 17 years old, and that was Fred DeLuca. And
yeah.
He's doing some wonderful things at Subway. He's teamed up with Jennifer Cushell and the Young Entrepreneur Group, and they've got a virtual Subway challenge. They've got a video that they're getting into schools so that young people see that it's possible to own their own business. And I've talked to Fred over the years, but it's been a long time since I've, you know, sat down and had a few minutes with him. And
right.
That was really pretty fun, too, you know, because he's in it, you know, much older than 17 now. But it was kind of fun to see what he was planning, you know, how he was kind of laughing about how small his dream was. You know, he was thinking 35 stores would be, you know, in 10 years would be just fabulous. And,
sure.
You know, kind of once he discovered franchising, how everything had snowballed. And, you know, I was asking if he was still involved with the day-to-day, and he said, you know, he had friends that were trying to talk him into retirement, but nothing, you know, playing golf all day or sailing just didn't appeal to him on a everyday basis. You know, it's something that's kind of exciting if you can get a way to do it. So, you know, it's just when you find somebody that after all these years is still enjoying what they're doing, you know, still looking for innovative ways to grow the company and stand out. It's really kind of fun to see how that success can snowball and take along
sure.
other people.
And it's absolutely a passion, and it's I'm glad you mentioned Fred DeLuca, because I'm super impressed by the man, not for as much for his success, but obviously showing up at these things. I mean, several years ago, I believe it was in San Antonio, and showed up at the Twitter because he wanted to learn what Twitter was all about. And it's that passion of continuing to grow and wanting to learn new things and bring back to the party, I think, is really something that speaks volumes. And talking about that passion, and I know Deb Evans, well-known franchise professional, was one-on-one showing Fred how to tweet. And I'm mentioning Deb because I know she's listening, because I saw her number pop up. She's listening today, despite being on a late-night red-eye flight from Vegas back home and a delay. So, Deb, hello. I know you're listening today, and I really thank you. But, you know, another one that was a former entrepreneur of the year, Stephen Greenbaum from Postnet, also recently on CBS Undercover Boss, and, of course, my guest to start the new year on Franchise Today. He's another one that I've mentioned in the past, just exudes that enthusiasm and passion last year at the Franchise Update Leadership Conference, you know, who's sitting in the first row, taking notes, asking questions, always looking to do something better. I mean, obviously could easily sit back and go on cruise control, but decides not to. And then, of course, I think some of the ultimate impression is Doc Cohen. Absolutely can just sit back and do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, but chooses to attend all these events and not just attend, but participate and talk with people at every opportunity, always taking somebody under his wing and sharing his wisdom. It's just fantastic to see that type of sharing, as you started out saying, you know, sharing ideas and sharing thoughts and all for a unified move forward and obviously growth at this very bad economic time.
Well, another new thing, the Women's Food Service Forum has a breakfast now. I think this was the second year that they have it. It was on Monday morning. And Joyce Mazzaro, who's a attorney with Haynes and Boone, was a board member at WFF and just kind of saw that that was kind of a crossover because so many franchisors are restaurant franchisors. And that was an interesting breakfast, too, because in addition to having dessert at breakfast, which I don't think I've ever had before. It was just, they had a panel that talked about, you know, driving, the power of driving for results. And Melanie Bergeron was one of them, and they had Michael Powell. And then they had someone from the MGM, which kind of told that story, which I thought was kind of interesting since we were all, you know, her guest. And I like that, you know, a little bit different. And even though it's Women's Food Service Forum, there were lots of men in the audience. And I like that, you know, that coming up with new ideas, not just doing the same thing over and over and over again. And I think IFA is kind of embracing other groups, you know, having the international track, the finance. It's just so much variety. It's almost hard to not find something that you want to go to and be a part of.
Yeah, and I think that also lends to brands having to bring multiple people with them to be able to capitalize on everything going on because there is so much. One person cannot go to all the things that they need to go to. And it's great. I mean, you know, Jersey Mike's obviously honoring their CEO founder. I mean, they had 35 people there. I know of other companies, you know, having 10 and 15 people there, that's a tremendous investment. I think it also says a lot to the people that they're bringing on board that we respect you, we want to see you grow, we're creating this culture, we want you to be part of it.
Exactly. That is what I always am amazed at the number that some people bring. And I was talking to an attorney from Great Plant Moody on the way home. And, you know, he was talking about that debriefing, which I think is so key. Right before the show, we were, the publisher Mary Jo Larson and the owner John Hamburger and I were kind of talking about, you know, what we had seen and what ideas we got from it. And I'm hoping everybody, you know, when they get back in the office is doing that too, because it's so easy to be so busy that you see all this, you get excited about it, and you're going to do something, and then you get back into your daily grind, and it's, you know, you kind of forget about it. So I think that's the value sometimes, is that after the convention, you know, doing something with everything you got there.
Oh, no doubt. It's no longer enough to just show up at the convention, grab a stack full of business cards, come back, and just follow up. It has truly turned into a planned event. Going into it, putting together a strategy, understanding the goals and objectives that you have, obviously executing upon that while you're there, capitalizing on the new opportunities that you might not have even known was available, and then, of course, coming back, debriefing with the rest of the team, putting together a plan, okay, how am I going to get the most out of this event moving forward? And because it is a significant investment, especially for some of the smaller brands that obviously don't have the revenue that some of the larger brands have.
Well, the danger you and I have, too, is that we've made so many friends over the years. It's so tempting to just want to sit and catch up with people and kind of force yourself to not do that.
You are not kidding. There was not enough hours in the day. I spent last night writing to, I think it was 11 people that we tried to meet up and we didn't. And I just ran out of time. And I don't know if I could have got there any earlier or stayed any later and accomplished what I would have liked to. But every day I like to say that I absolutely made the most of the day and the evening, and it was really great. You know, we'd be remiss in not mentioning the more than 100 franchisees and franchise executives that volunteered for the St. Therese Center at the second annual Franchise It Gives Back service project. I know the
last. I heard that's actually sold out.
It sold out.
That they couldn't take any more volunteers, which is a nice problem to have.
Isn't that nice? Yeah, they actually prepared 2,000 hygiene kits and 1,000 boxes of food for the center's clients. If anybody doesn't know what St. Therese Center is, it's a nonprofit that provides educational and social services to those affected by HIV and AIDS. I mean, I just hats off people coming in a day or so in advance, volunteering their time. And I know, and I haven't seen the list, I know of some of the people, but again, these are people that could just easily kick back on cruise control, and yet they are there participating. Hats off to them. You certainly are leading by example.
Well, and I think you're right when you say about coming in early, because that it is a big chunk of time, not only out of your workday, but just, you know, physically on you to be going from, you know, 7 till 11:30 at night. And, yeah, you're right, to come in a day early to do something like that, it is really amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and by the time Monday in the opening session, I joke, the opening session on Monday, I said, God, I feel like I've been here for a week already, and we just now at the opening session. That is remarkable. We're live today on Franchise Today. My guest is Nancy Weingartner, executive editor at Franchise Times Magazine, and we're talking about IFA 2013, which just concluded in Las Vegas, Nevada. And, you know, Nancy, entrepreneur of the year, Sid Feltenstein, I know you must have crossed paths with him over the years because you've been involved in franchising for quite a while as well. Any thoughts on Sid and this prestigious award?
I love Sid. I think he is a great person. I have interviewed him a couple of times. And one of the recent times is that he's volunteering a lot of times with the social sector franchising. Mm-hmm. And a lot with the Health Store Foundation. And that's what I think is so wonderful is, you know, Sid has certainly had a great business career and touched a lot of lives in all the different companies that he's been a part of. And now to bring that over to Africa and to encourage, you know, these health franchises to be successful. I think that's really says a lot about the man, and he thanked his wife from the stage, which I thought was really a nice thing to say that, you know, he's his best friend, and I think he's a class person. I really enjoy him.
I'll tell you, he, great man, great person in franchising. I was blown away by his eloquence and his delivery up on the stage. Got to see it when he accepted the award, and then it was yesterday, wasn't it, when he took over for John Luther, who couldn't be at the event yesterday, and he stood it. I think, you know, this guy should be doing the Academy Award show or something. I mean, he was great up on the stage.
You'll have to put his name in and see if maybe they'll take you up on that.
Ah, he's just fantastic. Just fantastic. And, of course, we have to mention, you know, Mary Kennedy Thompson receiving the Bonnie Levine Award, which we know is the highest honor for women in franchising. She's the leader at Mr. Reuter in the Dwyer Group. It seems like just a tremendous organization. all her work with VetFran. I mean, I don't think we have enough time to speak about all that she's accomplished and continues to do for franchising as well.
And she is so modest. When you talk to her,
you
just get this sense that she's giving everybody else credit. And, I think she's really wonderful, too. I think Dean is very lucky to have her as one of the presidents of the company, the Dwyer Group.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And Susan Blackbeth, of course, won another award from the Women's Franchise Network. And she joked and said, I'm not coming back next year unless they give me another award. It seems like she's a regular up on stage. Just love Susan. She's tremendous and excited that she's, again, spearheading the second annual Dealmakers Summit in Chicago in August. Like, she's got plenty of time during the day.
I know.
I often refer to her as the franchise energizer bunny. I mean, she's just go, go, go.
She really is, and she does a lot of exercising too. She's running all these mini triathlons, and she is a wonderful. I was looking at all the awards in the book, and I'm trying to think what she might win next year, but she probably will.
Yeah, she probably will. I mean, and you're right. I mean, she's so active. I mean, every time I think, oh man, I gotta exercise more, I don't have the time. And I look at Susan, I kind of got to put my head down and say, uh-oh, I'm embarrassed. She's just go, go, go. I often said that if franchising ever had a Hunger Games, I want Susan on my team. She's remarkable. So, obviously, you know, great speeches throughout the event. I mean, Steve Caldera is eloquent and in his delivery and his messaging. And certainly for his passion and enthusiasm for franchising. I had the honor of interviewing him last week, just 2 days before the IFA convention, and really honored that he took time out of his busy schedule. But again, you know, that's just Steve. I mean, whether it be in the bar or the restaurant at the IFA event, always has a few words for you and really is just a great leader moving into the new year. And, of course, I really believe Steve Romanello's new chairman of the IFA is just going to be super fantastic. Again, I'm overusing the word eloquent. He's another one that falls into that category, and just a great guy and totally dedicated to franchising as well. I think we've got great leadership moving forward. Not that the leadership wasn't great behind us, but we've learned, we've stayed with the times, and now we're moving forward through challenging times, and I think these two guys have been great in 2013.
Yes, I've been hearing a lot about Steve, too, and people are expecting, I think, that he's going to do a little shaking up because he is somebody who has a lot of, you know, ideas and vision, and I think it's going to be exciting to see what happens this year.
Yeah, I believe so. And I think the what's really going to help, I believe, is Steve's background, obviously, with Roark Capital and overseeing and directing and managing multiple brands in various industry segments, I think really is going to give a different perspective to that chairman's role in 2013.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think.
Really,
have we forgotten any of the award winners?
Let's see. We had the Diversity Award, and
right? Which was Yum. I was thinking
right, Yum Brands.
Phil
right.
Seidman won something, but I don't see it in this book. So
yeah, I'm not. I don't.
From DLA Piper.
It's just so much. Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, you know, kudos to the iFranchise group for bringing in so many new members and sitting on the membership committee myself. I can't thank Lane Fisher, the head of the membership committee, enough for his leadership and drive and push in getting the whole membership committee to do their job and to excel at it. And then when we were even chugging along, Lane came out with the One Warm Lead campaign in the 11th hour, which brought a lot more members to the table. It was just a great, great, great push. And like I said, I've never been involved with somebody that really had the tenacity that's necessary to just take it to a new level.
Well, I keep telling Lane that he should get into sales. I think he could he could make a fortune, although he's a good lawyer, too, so I guess he's not doing so bad there either.
Yeah, he's phenomenal at that. And, of course, you know, again, like Susan Blackbeth, when we say, oh, I don't have time to do this, you know, Lane runs one heck of a practice. He's involved in so much. And then, of course, won the first Sid Feltenstein Award last year for bringing in the most money through Franpak. And I'll tell you, quite frankly, and I think I said it last week, when I saw what Lane brought in, I think it was a third of the whole pack for 2012, when I said, I've got to do more, and I committed to being a max donor for 2013. I mean, if he could do it, and I'm going to help promote it and do everything I can. And it's people like Lane and a lot of others in franchising and Ron Feldman. They lead by example. And you have to go along with it. Otherwise, maybe you need to look at a different career. You know, and it's a lot of those. You know, I had the distinct honor of spending a lot of time this convention with Bernie Siegel, the founder of Siegel Capital Group and now Franchise America Finance. And again, Bernie's another one of those that, you know, could sit around in Puerto Rico and not do anything if he doesn't want to, but yet he takes people under his wing and shares his wisdom and guidance and truly wants to get to know you and figure out, you know, how he can help and mentor and guide, and hats off to him as well.
Yes, he does a great job. And the exhibit hall was fun this year, too. Did you find?
The exhibit hall was unbelievable.
I think I got my picture taken four or five different places. You know, the artists doing the caricatures, and then they had some photo booths, and I got my picture taken with a showgirl. So it's really kind of fun how, you know, the different ways they had tried to engage people at their booths. We just gave away magazines at ours.
Well, it's a great magazine. You know, there were so many people there, and obviously technology shined through because there were so many different solutions providers that were there. And I think it just lends towards where technology is front and center with franchising. It is one of the key things that I took away from this year's event. The technology summit was great. Jason Yusko, the IFA person in charge of technology, did a great job, along with Ken Colburn as the technology committee chairperson. Again, another committee that I'm on and am proud to be on. They did a great job. And this year is going to be the first technology summit in conjunction with Fran Camp. And again, hats off to Deb Evans and the people she's put together with Fran Camp. And that's going to be in Atlanta in May. Look for more details. It'll be very much social media and technology minded. So IFA is really stepping up. Of course, I'd be remiss in not talking about Fran Social. I think it will slowly gain steam. It just a lot of things going on. And a positive move moving forward. And as we're getting down to the last quarter of the show, I do want to talk about Franchise Times Magazine. I love the new online presence, and it's new. I say new. Obviously, it's been around for a little while, but I don't believe it was quite as expanded and extensive as it is now from our last time that we spoke. Really a great look. I love the blog in it, you know, current issue, different exclusives in there, easy to read, easy to maneuver through. Give us some of your thoughts. Having been, executive editor through the print times, now kind of into the digital revolution, and what are your thoughts coming from the old to what now is no longer the new but perceived as the new normal?
Well, it is interesting because I still love the hard copy of the magazine. You know, any magazine, I still really enjoy that feel of it. But what the new website has been able to do for us is, because we are a monthly publication, it allows us to interact and give some updates in between those issues. And so much is happening and so rapidly that I really do enjoy. In the beginning, I thought, oh, you know, blogging is going to be a lot more work. But it really is kind of fun when you find just a short little snippet of a story or something left over from an interview that you didn't get in to be able to post that. We can publicize things that, you know, if we missed a deadline, such as our conferences or other people's conferences, it's really nice to have that ability to constantly post something new, change out the photos, update articles. It really is a boon, I think, for publishing. I really would hate to see the hard copies go away because I still think they're easier to read. But, you know, being able to see all the different stories up there. The nice thing it does for us, too, is it gives us some international readers because it's so expensive to mail the magazine out. So I like that ability since we're doing a lot more international, that the people we're writing about in other countries will be able to read those stories. And we're also combining, we've got what's called the Superbook of Franchise Opportunities, which used to have a separate website, and we've learned that by teaming them together, you know, we get more hits, and we move up, you know, more on the Google pages. So we're slowly learning. We had a website committee here that did a lot of work on that, and it's really interesting. You go through all that, you think it all through, and then you sit down and you say, I wish we had done this, I wish we had done that. And one nice thing is that is a medium which you can change, you know, if you decide you'd rather move things around. So it is something that it's a work in progress. We're going to be constantly changing and updating, and we'd love to get feedback from people. I appreciate you saying it's easy to read, because that's one thing we're really looking at now to see if that's, you know, navigation is the way it should be.
Well, it's one of the 300-plus blogs and online sites that I regularly review every week. and I do agree. I like the print issue of any publication much better. It's easier to read. I find that when I read the print issues, I do read with more comprehension in mind, because I read it from front to back, and I'll go back over a paragraph if I have to. Where I find myself in the digital world, glancing through and reading, you know, paragraphs or phrases at a time and getting the most out of it. But, you know, that's good, because what I like about it is, like, I'm looking at the site right now back on February 8th, and you have the Legal Eagles nearly landed first Hall of Fame on tap, where in the past we would have had to wait till April for that to come out. At least we're getting a tidbit of information ahead of time, and it kind of whets the appetite. And if it is breaking news, at least we don't have to wait till 6 weeks later for it to come out in print. So I think that's great. And while we're talking about the Legal Eagles list, you're in your 10th year, which is remarkable, and I love this Hall of Fame thought behind this. Give us a little bit of insight about the Legal Eagles. There might be some people, although I couldn't imagine anybody in franchising not being aware of it, but let's be realistic, there are some that aren't. So if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. We look at the top franchise attorneys, and we have both nominations, and then we have a committee that looks over the nominations and comes up with the list. And we have been doing it for 10 years, which is pretty amazing. I don't remember off the top of my head the exact number, but I think it's somewhere around 20 that have been on the list all 10 years. So this year we're going to honor them. We're going to pull them out, have photos, do some short little interviews with some of them or all of them, just to see, you know, what their careers were like or what they're like as people. And one of the things that we rely on when people do nominations is what they say about the attorney, you know, why that person was nominated. So it's not just a, you know, send in, you know, a long list of names. It's actually telling us why they think that they should be a Legal Eagle. So that is something that's always, I think people really look forward to having that list come out. So that is, we're working on that right now, which is a lot of work.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Absolutely. I think it's, you know, absolutely great. I think it's just tremendous to showcase some of these attorneys that often are below the radar. There's a lot of them that are obviously great, and I just can't imagine 10 years in a row being on that list. Talk about longevity.
Yes, exactly.
What else can we expect throughout the year in Franchise Times? Are there any key topics that are going to be addressed that you can share?
Well, the publisher Mary Jo Larson and I are going to the Paris Expo
end of
March.
Yeah.
So we're going to it. I'm really excited to go because I've heard the expos are a lot different in Europe and other countries than they are here. So I thought that would be kind of an exciting thing to go find out a little bit more about franchising. You don't really hear about franchising in Europe very much anymore.
Yeah.
A lot of the economic problems, it just seems like countries aren't going there. They're looking at more of the emerging economies. So I thought that would be something to do a large story on that.
And of course, who could you know, turn down Paris in springtime?
Well, exactly. I don't think it sounds like a boondog at all to me. And to be able to go with Mary Jo Larson, who is one of my favorite people in the world, is going to be really nice too. So that will be very fun. And we've got our conference coming up in April, which is the Franchise Finance and Growth Conference. And this year we have a little bit different twist to it. We've got a lot of really, great people speaking, but we're honoring the best deals that were made last year. And that has been kind of fun too, that kind of the excitement over that because, deals are becoming, I think, another wave of the future because companies are being sold. Franchisees now are buying companies or they're buying, they're buying franchisee companies. So it's really a lot of movement in that area. So we've got the top deals that we're going to honor, and the people in order to receive this are actually going to be there. So I think the conference is going to be exciting. It's going to have a lot of the, larger franchisees there. We've always got a lot of lenders, and we're looking at how you can get money and how you can grow your system, the different vehicles. We just have a lot of really, just a wealth of information on financing. And actually, the other thing that we've got professional athletes that are going to come and talk about how they, have used money. So it's going to be a really great program. It's at the Four Seasons in Las Vegas, April 24th it starts. So, I really encourage anybody that, wants to grow their system to come and be a part of that.
I look forward to being there. A matter of fact, that Thursday during the event, one of the attorneys that will be on our franchise legal series, as I said, it's our fourth annual one, will be talking about franchise finance from a legal perspective to be done in conjunction with your conference. So we're trying to get a little bit more momentum, people, focusing on that as well.
Great. Well, we really appreciate you letting us talk about that. Thank you.
Absolutely. And then, of course, in the fall, the Restaurant Finance and Development Conference, which is just a tremendous event, and you're having that at the Wynn in Las Vegas, which is a tremendous venue in and of itself, and really exciting times, and I really appreciate all that you do, and I think it's very good biased reporting for franchising. Just a great publication, and I wish you and Mary Jo and everybody at Franchise Times team, the best for years to come. I think this is just a great push. I love the digital publication. I love all that you've been doing. The conferences are great. What else can I say?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
That's really good.
Good to hear.
And I do appreciate you coming on today. I know it was we didn't give you a lot of notice, number one. Number two, coming out of the event, I know it takes a little bit out of you. You come back and you say, oh, yeah, I've got to do this. Because I know I said that this morning.
I always enjoy talking to you, so no struggle
there. I appreciate it. Thank you for being my guest today. Today's been a broadcast in the Voices of Franchising series. My guest was Nancy Weingartner, the executive editor of Franchise Times magazine. And Franchise Today, you know, really has expanded this year in 2013 with a new commitment that stemmed from the merger between Franchise Essentials and Franchise Foundry, as well as bringing on the media group, of which Franchise Today is a big integral part of. We will be announcing in the upcoming weeks about our third annual Franchise Social Media Summit in our partnership with Elements Local. That'll be in the fall. A lot of great things going on in my personal neck of the woods with Franchise Foundry. And I'm real excited about the entire year for Franchise Today with the upcoming Franchise Finance and Multi-Unit Series, and then, of course, the fourth annual Franchise Legal Series, which is just phenomenal. You know, when I walk around the IFA event this week, I was really flattered by how many people in franchising, and specifically the franchisors, that say they're using a lot of our content week in and week out for internal training. I mean, you know, who wouldn't want to use, you know, 3 hours worth of coverage over the last, you know, couple of years with Lane Fisher talking about financial performance representations and private equity in franchising, or Lee Play from Play Cook talking about the legal aspects of social media and specific to the franchising community, or Stephen Greenpound talking about, you know, how to promote your brand, and just many others. Dina Dwyer Owens sharing her insight and passion for franchising and how she builds, you know, teams and a culture. And there's just so many great things that Marianne O'Connell talking about the importance of operations manuals as a way to absolutely memorialize everything in the organization and the systems and the processes behind it. And then, of course, the individuals that have brought specifics to with a restaurant segment of franchising, to human resources, to changing laws, to Jonathan Redgrave, a very well-known attorney, and talking about e-discovery and what franchisors need to realize in protecting all their electronic documents, and not to be surprised when they might be in a lawsuit and somebody says, we want to see a copy of all your tweets. And it's all reality. And then, of course, the great voices in franchising, as we've had through this series. Congratulations to Nick Powell's at No Limit Agency for their publication going to print, 1851 Magazine. True entrepreneurial task there. Steve Caldera coming on the show last week talking about all the efforts that the IFA is putting through up on Capitol Hill, all for the good of franchising. Really great, and I'm honored that we decided to really move forward with Franchise Today as a continued voice in franchising, all about best practices. It's not about promotion. It's about what you could use in your business day in and day out. And, of course, the special thanks have to be to all our loyal listeners. I humbly remember four years ago being on Franchise Today, which was Franchise Essentials Radio then, and I had one live listener and one on-demand listener. And then the next week it was two, and then the next week it was four. And now we're getting, you know, anywhere between 400 and 800 live listeners a week, and anywhere between 6,000 and 11,000 on-demand listens by the Monday after the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone that listens to the show religiously. I'm really humbled by that. And, of course, special thanks go to Sherry and Brad Fishman, Deborah Vilches, and the team at Fishman Public Relations and Marketing that have committed to be our strategic partner on Franchise Today. I am honored to be associated with them in moving forward and making Franchise Today one of the best voices in franchising moving forward. Next week, My guest is Therese Bilgin from Franchise Update Media Group. Until then, my name is Paul Segretto, wishing you the best, the very best, in this great thing we call franchising. Franchise Today is